This week's Parsha is Parshas Shmos, and we are going to ask different questions throughout the Parsha, and then we'll try to give one answer. And first we'll start with what is written on chapter 1, verse number 10. There we have a new king arising over Egypt that didn't know Yosef, and this new king says on Pasuk number 10, Havon is Chakmoloi, come, let us outsmart him, or it, Pen Yirbe, maybe he'll become too numerous. Vayok Sikrenu Milchom, it'll be, there'll be a war. Vanoisav Gamhu, also Neinu, and he'll also join our enemies. Vanilcham Banu, and he'll war against us. Vaolom in Oretz, and go up from the land. Rashi brings down from the words Avon Yitzchak Maloi, it's written, let outsmart it. It doesn't say, let outsmart them. So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph, 11a, that Omar Abchome Brabchanine, Abchome Brabchanine says, Boi, Venechkam Le Moshion Shel Israel. Let's go and try to outsmart the savior of the Jewish people, meaning they knew that Hashem saves the Jewish people, and they thought that they are going now to outsmart Hashem, because they also knew that Hashem always punishes Mido, Keneged Mido, measure for measure, and therefore they try to find a way that they could do harm for the Jewish people, where Hashem doesn't have the possibility to harm them. So they first says, what should we try to do with the Jewish people? Should we judge them with fire? Meaning, should we kill the Jewish people by throwing them into the fire? It's written, Kinei Hashem Bo Eish Yavoi. It's written in Yeshaya chapter 66, verse number 15, that Hashem will come with fire, meaning the anger of Hashem comes with fire. Therefore, they knew that if they burn the Jewish people, then Hashem will exact retribution from them by burning them. Then they decided, maybe let's take the sword and kill the Jewish people by the sword. Then they said it can be, because it's written, V'charboi gaskol boser, that Hashem is going to use his sword to kill all flesh. Meaning that they knew that if they would kill the Jewish people by the sword, then Hashem would also kill them by the sword. We have to make a little parenthesis here, because eventually we see that they actually wanted to use the sword against the Jewish people, because right afterwards in our Parsha, in verse number 15, Paroi calls the two midwives, Shifra and Pua, and tells them that they should kill the male children as soon as they were born from the Jewish women. Then we see clearly that they wanted to use the sword to kill the Jewish children. Then we have to say that this is exactly what Paroi feared. Paroi feared that if he himself or the Egyptians would kill the Jewish children, then Hashem will get retribution from the Egyptians and they will kill the Egyptians by the sword. But now that he has the Jewish midwives kill the Jewish children, then Paroi thought that if Hashem is going to pay back, he's going to pay back on these Jewish midwives, on the Jewish people themselves. Therefore, Paroi wanted to use the midwives in order to kill the children. But since that did not work, then Paroi had to put away the idea of killing the Jewish people by the sword, because he was afraid of retribution from Hashem. Going back to the Gemara, so they figured they can't use fire and they can't use a sword. They decided that they're going to judge the Jewish people with water. And the reason they specifically chose to judge the Jewish people by water is because Hashem already swore that he won't bring a flood into the world. Therefore, they figured that if they judge the Jewish people by water, they drown the Jewish people, then Hashem won't be able to exact retribution from them, because Hashem already swore that he won't bring a flood into the world. The Gemara continues that they made a mistake, because number one, Hashem only swore that he won't bring a flood over the whole world, but he never swore that he won't bring a flood over one nation. Hashem could still punish one nation by water, by bringing floods over them, or as we have seen in our times, by bringing tsunamis over them. So we see that Hashem could still punish by water. And also, they didn't understand that it could be that Hashem won't punish them by water, but Hashem will make them go into the water. Meaning Hashem won't bring the water over them, but they eventually are going to run in into the water, as it's written in Shmos chapter 14, verse number 27, that Umitzrayim nasim likrasoi, that the Mitzrim are running towards the water, so Hashem is able to punish you by water without bringing the water over you, where you yourself go into the water and you drown in the water. According to this, we have a question in regards to the end of the Parsha. In the end of the Parsha, on chapter 5, Moshe and Aharon come in front of Paroi, and they say, Koy Omar Hashem Elokei Israel, so did Hashem, the God of Israel, say, Shalach Esami, send my nation by Chuguli Mamidbar, and they will feast for me in the desert. Vayoimre Paroi, Paroi says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekoyle, who is Hashem that I should listen to his voice, the Shalach Es Israel, to send away the Jewish people? Lo Yodati Es Hashem, I didn't know Hashem, the Gam Es Israel, Lo Yashaleach, and I won't send away the Jewish people. The Ramban tries to answer the question of how can we say that Paroi said that he doesn't know Hashem, when clearly we just mentioned by Havan Ishak Maloi that, come, let outsmart him, that they knew exactly who Hashem, the savior of the Jewish people, is, because they were afraid to punish them with fire, they were afraid to punish them by the sword, they decided they're going to punish them by the water, because they thought that this is the only way that Hashem can give them retribution. Then how can Paroi say, who is Hashem that I should listen to his voice? Therefore the Ramban says, V'hine Paroi hoya chocham godol. Paroi was a very smart man. Ve'yodea es Elohim. He knows Elohim. Umoideboy, and he admits that there is a Elohim, that there is Hashem. Kasher Omar, who, like he said before, or like he said to Yosef in Bereshit chapter 41, verse number 39, he says there, Acharei Yodea Elohim Oischa es kol zois, that once Hashem told you all this, in regards to the dream, then clearly Paroi knew of Elohim, of Hashem, if I say that is the same Paroi that was in the time of Yosef. Avaloyodeya es Hashem Amiyuchat. He didn't know the Shem Amiyuchat, the Shem Yutkei Vavkei. Vano, and he says, Loyodati es Hashem. I know Elohim. I know Hashem of justice, but I don't know this Hashem. So therefore, I won't send out the Jewish people. So the question Mefarshim asks is, wait a minute, here Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him that Hashem is going to punish you, Hashem is going to ask retribution from you if you don't send out the Jewish people. And Paroi says, I know Elohim and I don't know Hashem and therefore I'm not going to do what you say. How can Paroi say that, Memunavshach, if you believe that there is a savior of the Jewish people? As soon as Moshe said that the savior is going to punish you, then Paroi should have gotten scared and done what Moshe tells him. How is it that Paroi did not send out the Jewish people? Continuing on chapter 3, verse number 11, after Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paroi and tell him to let the Jewish people go, there the verse says, Vayomer Moshe al Elohim, Moshe tells Hashem, Mi anoichi ki elech el Paroi, who am I that I should go to Paroi? And that I should take out the Jewish people out of Egypt. Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu's question is, Ma ani choshuv ledabrim amalachim, who am I that I have a merit or that I have so important to speak with kings? And the second question was that even if I am important to speak to kings, Ma zochu Yisrael sheyasi lohem nes v'yitzihem Mitzrayim, what merits do the Jewish people have that you should make a miracle to them and that you should take them out of Egypt? Mefarshim asks a question that they don't understand Moshe Rabbeinu's question. If Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he wants him to go to speak to Paroi, clearly Hashem does it for a purpose. Then clearly Moshe Rabbeinu knows that he is the one that is going to talk to Paroi and take out the Jewish people out of Egypt. What did Moshe Rabbeinu think? If Hashem tells him to go ahead and do it, clearly he's going to do it. And the other question that he asked, what merit do the Jewish people have that they will leave Egypt? The Medrash Rabba in Parshas Shmos, Parsha Aleph, brings Omar Avuna b'shem Bar Kapora, that Ravuna said Nevo Kapora, Bishvil Dalet Dvorim Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, because of four reasons the Jewish people had merit to leave Egypt. One is Shelo Yishinu Es Shemam, they didn't change their name, meaning they kept their Jewish name, they kept their Jewish identity. Shelo Yishinu Es Leshoinam, they didn't change their language, they always spoke in Lashon Kodesh. Shelo Yigalu Soidam, they didn't tell their secrets, that means that they didn't speak Lashon Hara. Shelo Yefkiru Neshoseyam, and they didn't commit immorality. So we see that they had four reasons why they had the merit to leave Egypt. And even if I hold that the Jewish people did not have the merit of not speaking Lashon Hara, because according to certain interpretations, after Moshe Rabbeinu hit the Egyptian, and then the next day he saw two Jewish people fighting, and he said to one of them, Rasha, evil one, why are you hitting your fellow? And then they retort and say that, are you trying to kill us as you killed the Egyptian? Then the verse says, on chapter 2, verse number 15, Vayira Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, Vayoymar, and he said, Ochein, indeed, Noida Adavor, the matter is known. Rashi explains from the Medrash that it means to say that now Moshe Rabbeinu knows why the Jewish people are in exile, why they are suffering, meaning that since there is Lashon Hara, then they understand why they are suffering. But nonetheless, the Medrash Rabbah on Bamidbar, Parsha Yud Gimel, says clearly that they had three good things in Egypt. It says that they didn't change the name, they didn't change their language, and they didn't commit immorality. Then we see that this merit itself was going to be enough for them to be redeemed. Then why is Moshe Rabbeinu asking, by what merit are they going to be redeemed? Clearly, the Jewish people have enough merits to be redeemed. Another question that we have is that on chapter 3, verse number 13, there it says, "Whoever Moshe Elohim," Moshe tells Hashem, "Hine anoichi ba el bnei Israel," I am coming to the Jewish people, "v'amarti lohem," and I will tell them, "Elokei avoseichem shalachani aleichem," the God of your forefathers sent me to you, "v'amru li," and they'll ask me, "Mashmoy," what is his name? "Ma oimer aleihem," what should I tell them? The Rambam in Moreh Nevoichim, in the Guide to the Perplexed, Chelek Aleph, Perek Samach Gimel, asks a question, why was Moshe Rabbeinu afraid that the Jewish people are going to ask him the name of Hashem? This is not a question that you ask a prophet. If a prophet says a prophecy, you're not going to tell him what name of Hashem told in the prophecy. Why does the prophet need to know in what name of Hashem is doing what he's doing? Clearly, the prophet is only supposed to know what Hashem is going to do. And then the Rambam asks, what good is it going to do if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give a name of Hashem? If the Jewish people don't know this name of Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give, then how do they know that this is true? What proof is that going to bring that this is really Hashem who told this prophet what to do? If clearly, if they didn't know the name before, then they still don't know if this is the truth, if the prophet is telling them the right name of Hashem. And if they already knew the name of Hashem, then it's possible that this prophet already also knows the name of Hashem. Then what proof is it to the prophet that he is saying the truth because he knows the name of Hashem? If everybody knew the name of Hashem, then this prophet could just pronounce the name of Hashem, even though the prophecy may not be true. And the Barbanel asks another question, that if Moshe Rabbeinu already knows the name of Hashem that Hashem is going to use, then Moshe Rabbeinu should just tell the people when they ask him the name of Hashem. He doesn't have to ask Hashem, what's the name that I should tell the people? And if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know the name of Hashem that is going to do this miracle, then Moshe Rabbeinu should just ask Hashem what's his name. You shouldn't say that the people are going to ask me, what is the name of Hashem, what should I tell them? Moshe Rabbeinu should directly ask Hashem, what is the name that you are using to redeem him? And besides the point, we already know that Moshe Rabbeinu clearly knew the name of Hashem. Because previously, in the pasuk that we mentioned, in chapter 2, verse number 14, after Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Egyptian, then Moshe Rabbeinu sees two people fighting, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells one, evil one, why are you hitting your fellow? There the verse says, Vayoymer, and the person that was hitting says, Misomchol ish sar v'shoifet aleinu, who put you as a minister or judge over us? Halaragenu at Oimer, are you saying to kill us, Kasher rakhtu as a mitzri, like you killed the Egyptian? It doesn't say, Halaragenu at Soifer, do you want to kill us? It says, Halaragenu at Oimer, are you saying to kill us as you killed the Egyptian? From here, Rashi brings down, Mikan alulamedim, from here we learn, Shehargoy b'shem ha'mefurosh, that Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian by pronouncing Hashem's name. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu said the name of Hashem and the Egyptian just died. So we see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu already knows the name of Hashem. Then why is he asking Hashem what name should he tell the Jewish people? He should tell them the name that on this question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked, what is the name of Hashem that I should tell the Jewish people? On chapter 3, verse number 14, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Elokim el Moshe," Hashem tells Moshe, "Eye asher eye." They should tell the Jewish people, "I will be that I will be." That is the name of Hashem. Vayomer, and he said, "Koy soymar livnei Yisrael." So should you say to the Jewish people, "Eye shelochani aleichem." Eye, send me to you. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Tes Omed Beis 9b says that there is a conversation going on between Moshe and Hashem. That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that Eye Asher Eye, meaning that tell the Jewish people I am with them in this subjugation and I will be with them again in any future subjugation. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, Hashem, it's enough that they have these troubles in front of them. Why remind them of other troubles? Then Hashem answers, you're right, tell the Jewish people, Eye shelocheini aleichem, that I will be, I sent to them. Don't mention Asher Eye, that I will be in any future troubles. Just say, Eye, Hashem, who is with us in this trouble, shelocheini aleichem, that sent me to tell you that you are going to be redeemed. The Mashal explains that this comes from the double language Vayoymer, because the verse says, Vayoymer Elokim el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Eye Asher Eye, and then it's written again, Vayoymer, and he said, clearly if he's saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, then doesn't have to say again, and he said, therefore the Gemara deduces that there was a conversation between them. But nonetheless, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the name is Eye. The only problem is that right afterwards continues Vayomer Oyd Elokim el Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe again, Koy soymer abnei Yisrael, so should you say to the Jewish people, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, the God of your forefathers, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shelochani Aleichem, send me to you, Zeh Shmil Leolam, this is my name forever, Vezeh Zichri Ledor Vodor, and this is my remembrance for all generations. Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Amud Aleph 58 that when it's written Zeh Shmi Leolam, this is my name forever, the word Leolam is written missing a vav, which is meant to say Leolam, which is meant to be concealed, meaning that this is my name to be concealed. And this is my mention from generation to generation. Meaning the Gemara says that not in the same way that Hashem is written, Hashem is read. Hashem is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when we read the name of Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, we say the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. We say Adonai. We don't say the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But nonetheless, Hashem is giving now another name. Then we see that Hashem is giving Moshe Rabbeinu theoretically two names. First he says, Eye Shelochani Aleichem, that Eye is the one who sent you. And then right afterwards he says, that Zashmi Leolam Vezazichra Dovedoy, that this is my name forever, meaning Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is my name, but I pronounce Aleph Dalet Nun, but I'm pronounced Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Why does he give Moshe Rabbeinu two names? If he already gave the name Eye, why does he have to say that not the same way I am read, I am pronounced? We could answer partially those questions based on the Chasam Sofer, where the Chasam Sofer says that Moshe Rabbeinu told Hashem in chapter 4, verse number 10, that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to go because he's kvat peh u'kvat loshoin, because he's heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. The Chasam Sofer explains that Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment, aral swasaim, his lips did not close well, and he had a problem pronouncing the letters beis vav mem peh. The letters beis vav mem peh come from the lips, and Moshe Rabbeinu could not pronounce those letters. And he explains that in order to kill the Egyptian, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't required to say the whole name of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It was enough for him to say the Shem Yud-Kei to kill the Egyptian. But when you want to kill a Jew, then you're required to say Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And he explains that when the evil person was hitting his friend, told Moshe Rabbeinu, are you saying to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? He was mocking Moshe Rabbeinu. He was saying, even if you try to kill us by saying Hashem's name, you won't be able to do it because you can't pronounce the Vav. Because the Vav is one of the letters that requires to have the lips to pronounce. Therefore, the person was mocking him. Therefore, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to say that Hashem Elokei Avoseichem, that Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the God of your forefathers, said that He's going to redeem you, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that he cannot pronounce the name of Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, since he cannot pronounce the Vav. Therefore, he says, when they ask me what's the name of Hashem, what should I say? I can't pronounce the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, because my speech impediment doesn't let me pronounce the Vav. Therefore, Hashem said that Eye Asher Eye, that I will be that I will be. The Rashbam explains that Eye Asher Eye, I will be that I will be, is the same name as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, meaning the same Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is Hoya Hoive Veye, Hashem that was, that is in the present, and that will be in the future. And this is the same meaning, says the Rashbam, of Eye Asher Eye. I will be in the past, and I will also be in the future. Then Eye Asher Eye is almost a translation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But Eye Asher Eye is the name that Hashem says on Himself. Hashem on Himself says that I will be, that I will be. But we cannot say I will be. Therefore we say Hoya Hoive Vei, Hashem that was, is, and will be. But Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should go in front of the Jewish people and say, Eye Sheluchani Aleichem. Even though it seems to be arrogant, but he should say that I will be, send me in front of you. Because Hashem was hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu that Shechina medaberes mitoch groino shel Moshe, that the Shechina itself is going to speak through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. As the verse says in Bamidbar chapter 12, verse number 8, that pe a pe a double boy, that mouth to mouth I speak in him, doesn't say mouth to mouth I speak to him, says mouth to mouth I speak in him. So Hashem was hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu that the Shechina is going to be speaking from his throat. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could say the word Eye. But Hashem also was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that you don't have to worry about this time saying the word Eye, because you are only going to say the word Eye one time. Because from now on, you are going to say the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. How can you pronounce Yud-Kei Vav-Kei? Therefore Hashem says, Zeh Shmi Leolam, Vezeh Zichri Ledor V'Dor, that not in the same way that I am written, I am read, written I am in Yud Kei Vav Kei, but pronounce me in Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem pronouncing the letters Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Therefore, according to the Chasam Sofer, it's written here both names. Eya, the name of Hashem, which is the same name as Yud Kei Vav Kei, which actually denotes Hashem saying on himself, I'll be in the future. And Hashem was hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu that he could say the name of Hashem because the Shekhinah is speaking through his throat. And he was also telling Moshe Rabbeinu that you don't have to worry in the future about pronouncing my name, because since I don't want you to ever pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei, I want you to pronounce Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, then therefore you have no problem pronouncing my name. We'll continue asking more questions before we give the answer of the Divrei Yoel. The Ramban brings down on the words Eya Asher Eya, I will be that I will be, an interesting Medrash Agoda. The Ramban says that Keshem She'ato Hoive Imi, Kach Ani Hoive Imach. In the same way that you behave towards me, Hashem says that I will behave towards you. Imposchim es yadayim voisin tzedoka, if you open up your hand and you do charity, af ani eftach es yadi, I will also open my hand, shenemar, because it says, iftach Hashem lecha es etzora toiv, Hashem is going to open to you His good treasure. Ve'imein poischim es yadayim, but if you don't open your hand to the poor, makosuf shom, what's written there, hen yatze b'mayim ve'evoishu, that I will make sure to refrain my water, like that your grounds will dry up. Meaning, in the same way that's written, Hashem tzilcho yad minecho, Hashem is your shadow on your right hand, we know that a shadow does exactly what you do, and that is what Hashem means, that the way you behave towards your fellow man, Hashem behaves towards you. The Ramban says that Eya, Asher Eya, is literally this translation, that I will be that you will be, meaning I will be in the same way that you will behave. If you behave nicely towards somebody, then I'll behave nicely towards you. And if you do not behave nicely towards somebody, Hashem won't behave nicely towards you. But the only problem is that afterwards Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Eya shelochani alecho, that only one Eya, it doesn't seem like it's dependent on what you will be doing, because originally Hashem tells Eya Asher Eya, but he tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people that Eya Shelochani Aleichem, that I will be, send me to you. How are we going to reconcile this idea from the Medrash that the Ramban brings? Because here we only have one Eya and we don't have dependent on the other Eya. After Hashem gives a name to Moshe Rabbeinu says, but maybe the people aren't going to believe me. And Hashem eventually gives Moshe Rabbeinu signs and says to him that they will believe you. And even after that, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to stall yet again and saying that I'm not a man of words. I am hard of speech and hard of tongue. Hashem answers Moshe by saying what is written on chapter 4, verse number 11. Who makes a mouth to a man? Who makes one dumb or deaf? Who sighted the blind? It is not I, Hashem. And Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, so now go, I should be with your mouth, and teach what you should say. Basically, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he will be with him all the time. And yet, after all this, on Pasuk number 13, Vayoymer Moshe Rabbeinu says, Be Adoni, please my master, Shlach no beyati shlach, send through whomever you will send. Meaning, I don't want the job, send through whomever you will send. The question is, how can Moshe Rabbeinu say something like that? After Hashem tells him that I will be with you and I will speak for you, how can Moshe Rabbeinu say that he doesn't want to go and he waits until Hashem gets angry, and once Hashem gets angry, then Moshe Rabbeinu goes? What was he waiting for? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu procrastinate so much? We know that a person always wants to do the will of Hashem, and clearly a tzaddik would want to do only the will of Hashem. And if Hashem clearly tells them, I want you to go, how can Moshe Rabbeinu procrastinate and negotiate and in the end tell Hashem, I don't want to go? Furthermore, the Ramban on the verse, Shlachno Bayatishlach, please send from whoever you want to send, the Ramban says, Vasibele Moshe Becholav Sirvonos Azois, that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu procrastinated and tried not to do this job was Anvenosoi Agadoila, was his huge humility. Mikola Odom Ashopne Adama, since he was the most humble person than anybody on the earth, and he felt Shelehoyo Moitzes Liboy Leizgadel Uladaber El Melech. He didn't think that he is worthy to speak to a king, that he should be elevated in a level that he should be able to speak to Paroi. And also, it is not worthy to go to the Jewish people and say, Hashem Shelochani, that Hashem sent me, and I am the one that is going to take you out of bondage. Moshe Rabbeinu did not feel that is his job. He was so humble that he couldn't believe that Hashem should raise him to such a level. The only problem with this Ramban is that the verse in Divrei Hayomim 2, Chronicles 2, chapter 17, verse number 6 says, Ve'yigba liboy bedarkei Hashem, that his heart should be haughty in the ways of Hashem, meaning that even a humble person, when it comes to do the will of Hashem, he is required to put away his humility and be haughty. And here Hashem is clearly telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides that he is going to wait and he is going to be humble. Clearly, when Hashem tells you to do something, you're required to do. You're supposed to be haughty. How can Moshe Rabbeinu be humble at this time? And furthermore, I understand that you want to be humble when that humility only is for yourself, meaning that nobody is pained by your humility. You want to be humble, call a kavod. But here, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Egypt and tell the Jewish people that they are going to go out, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to take the Jewish people out of bondage. There is no room for humility now. While the Jewish people are suffering, how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu is being humble and he doesn't want to go because of his humility? Jewish people are dying and Moshe Rabbeinu is being humble. How can Moshe Rabbeinu use his humility at this point? What was going on in the mind of Moshe Rabbeinu that he felt that he shouldn't go down to Egypt to save the Jewish people? Another question that there is an interesting Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar in Perek Mem says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shlach no beyat tishlach, send please in the hand that you are going to send, that Moshe Rabbeinu was really arguing something deeper. Omar Lefonov, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Riboyne Shaloylam, Hashem, Shlach no beyat tishlach, send in the hand whom you normally send, meaning, beyat oiso ish shat osid lishloach, by the hand of the person that you're eventually going to send, Shahu Eliyahu. That's Eliyahu, as it's written in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 23. Hine anoichi sholeach lochem es Eliyahu anovi, that behold, I'm sending to you Elijah the prophet, lifnei bo yoim Hashem ha-gadol v'anoiro, before the great and awesome day of Hashem, meaning that in the end of times, Hashem is going to send Eliyahu anovi to redeem us. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, don't send in my hand, send in the hand of Eliyahu HaNavi. What is the meaning of this Medrash? The Satmar Rebbe answers all this question with the Medrash Rabbe in Parsha Gimel, Siman Dalet. The Medrash Rabbe says there on the verse that Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Mi Anoichi, who am I, ki elech el paro, that I should go to Paroi, that in Shmos chapter 3, verse number 11, the Medrash plays with the word Anoichi. And the Medrash says that Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, Omar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu argued in front of Hashem, Kesheyorat Yaakov leMitzrayim, loy kacho marteloy, when Yaakov went down to Egypt, he asked before permission from Hashem. Hashem told him in chapter 46 of Bereishis, verse number 4, Anoichi ered imcha, that I will go down with you, Mitzrayim to Egypt, Vanoichi Aelcho Gam Oloi, now will bring you up. Meaning, Hashem promised that He Himself is going to redeem the Jewish people. That I am taking you down, and now will bring you up. Moshe Rabbeinu was arguing in front of Hashem and saying, didn't you say that Anoichi, that you are going to bring him up? Am I the Anoichi that you are saying? Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing like that. When you told Yaakov Avinu that you are going to bring him up, you said that you are personally going to bring him up. You said, Anoichi, that I am going to bring you up. And now you want me to bring it up? The question is, what is the difference? How Hashem is making it that the Jewish people should be redeemed? The answer is based on the Yalkut in Zechariah Remes Tov Kof Ayin Zayin. There, the Yalkut is analyzing the verse in Yeshayahu chapter 45, verse number 17, where it says, Israel Noisha Bashem, that the Jewish people are saved by Shem, Teshuas Olamim, an eternal salvation. The Yalkut says that Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem says, Bo'olam Hazeh Ha'isim Noishim Al-Yedei B'nei Adam. In this world, you were saved until now by men. B'Mitzrayim, in Egypt, you were saved Al-Yedei Moshe Aaron, Moshe and Aaron. B'mei Sisra, during the times of Sisra, you were saved through Dvoira Evorach. In the Midianim, you were saved through the judges. The message continues, because your saving came through humans, you were again subjugated. But in the future, I myself am going to save you. Once I save you, you're not going to be subjugated again. As it's written, Israel Noisha Bashem, when the Jewish people are saved directly by Hashem, then it's Shuas Olamim, then it's an eternal saving. Meaning that if Hashem Himself is going to save us, then there won't be any subjugation after Hashem saving. But if a human being saves us, Moshe and Aaron, as the Medrash clearly says, then after Moshe and Aaron saving us, we are again going to be subjugated by other people, as we are nowadays. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu argued with Hashem, you promised Yaakov Avinu that you are going to bring him down to Egypt, and you are going to bring him up. You said, Anoichi, am I the Anoichi? Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu procrastinates, because Moshe Rabbeinu feels that if he doesn't go, then Hashem Himself is going to save the Jewish people. And if Hashem Himself saves the Jewish people from Egypt, then there won't be any more subjugation. And according to this, now we understand why Moshe Rabbeinu said that the Jewish people are going to ask me, what is the name of Hashem that He's redeeming? Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the Jewish people are going to ask, why is Moshe Rabbeinu redeeming them? Hashem said that He's going to redeem them. Therefore, they would want to know, in what merit, what is going on, that Moshe Rabbeinu is redeeming them. Then Hashem tells him that you redeeming them because Eye Ashereye, because I will be that I will be. And as the Gemara explains, that I will be with you in this subjugation, and I will be with you again in another subjugation. Meaning, the answer is that you are redeeming them because it is required to be another subjugation. And the reason that's required to be another subjugation is because of that very reason, since it didn't complete yet the 400 years, and Hashem had no choice, He had to take us out, because we have reached such a low level, that if we'd have stayed there longer, then we wouldn't have been totally corrupted. Therefore Hashem had to take us out, but Hashem is going to be again with us in any future subjugation. Therefore Hashem said that you should tell them that I'm redeeming you earlier because because I will be in this subjugation and I will be again in another subjugation. And according to this, we could also explain the Ramban, that the Ramban says that Hashem mirrors us. That is the proper way that normally we have to act towards another. And in the same way that we act towards another, Hashem acts towards us. But that is only if you are in the level to act towards another. But now Hashem realized that we are in such a low level, then Hashem decided that He is going to forgo your action first, and Hashem is just going to do Eya Shelochani Aleichem, that Hashem is just going to act towards us in a good way, even though we did not act, because we are at such a low level that Hashem was willing to forgo the requirement that we first act, and then Hashem mirrors our act, and Hashem decided He's going to act first, and He's going to redeem us. Therefore also, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and said that Hashem has said to let the Jewish people go, Paro says, I don't know Hashem, meaning Paro knows that Elohim, the savior of the Jews, is a just God, and He protects the Jewish people. But he also knows that Hashem had promised that they are going to be in Egypt for 400 years. And yet, after 210 years, this person, Moshe, comes and tells that Hashem told them to let the Jewish people go. Paro doesn't know who Hashem is, because he only knows justice. He knows that Elohim told them that they're going to be 400 years. Therefore, Paro says, Lo yodati es Hashem. I don't know Hashem. I know Elohim. I know the God of justice, the guy who saves the Jews and takes retribution of people who harm them. But I don't know any Hashem. I don't know any God of the Jews that has the attribute of mercy. Therefore, Paro doesn't let the people go. And therefore, also, when Moshe Rabbeinu procrastinates and he says, Shlach no b'yat tishlach, send by the hand whom you're going to send, the Pirkei Rabbeinu says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, send by the hand of Eliyahu Navi. Because since Eliyahu Navi is the one that's going to come and herald the Moshiach, Moshe Rabbeinu is explaining the reason why he's procrastinating. I'm procrastinating because I want this redemption to be an eternal redemption. Therefore, send, please, by the hand of Eliyahu Navi, which he's going to be heralding the Mashiach. And if he comes there and saves the Jewish people from Egypt, that means it's going to be a full redemption. And therefore also, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that Zeh Shmi Le'olam V'Zeh Zichri L'Dor V'Dor, that this is my name to be hidden, meaning right now my name is not the same way that I'm written, I am read. I am written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and I'm read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But the Gemara in Psachim writes down that it's written in the verse in Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 9, V'hoyo Hashem le'melech al kol ha'oretz, Hashem will be a king over the whole world, b'yoy mahu, in that day, Yih Hashem echad u'shmo echad, the Hashem will be one, and His name is going to be one. The Gemara asks a question, Oto ho'idno lav echadi, now is Hashem not one? And the Gemara answers, Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Loi bo'ilam hazeh, o'ilam haba, that this world is not like the world to come. This world is written by Yud Kei, and it's read with Aleph Dalet, meaning like we said before, Avol o'ilam haba, but in the future, in the world to come, Nikra by Yud Kei, V'nichtav by Yud Kei. The name of Hashem is going to be written Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we're going to read it Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that is what Hashem is alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu, that right now you have to save the Jewish people because the redemption is not complete yet. But in the future, the name of Hashem is going to be complete, it's going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we are going to read it Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Hashem Yisborach should help that we should now see the redemption soon, and Hashem should save us, Yeshua's Olamim, eternal redemption. We should have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuild, Bimheira Bayomeinu, Amen.